Let's read today's Bible passage from Hebrews chapter 12. So last week we learned how to pray together. This week we're going to learn how we run together. Let's read God's invitation for us to run together as a church family in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. So let's read these just all together since it's only three verses. Ready? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Now we'll hear today's sermon by Pastor Steve.
Let us run the race marked out for us. So today, we're going to talk about a glorious gridiron struggle, but not one of Bengals and Rams. A struggle far more important, the race of the life of faith. I pray this message may motivate and encourage us to get up and get moving on the race of faith. Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. Encourage us through your word to run with perseverance, to follow Jesus and consider his grace daily. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 1 begins, therefore. And whenever we hear the therefore, what do we ask? What's the therefore, therefore? So we look back to Hebrews 11 and we're reminded of all the stories of these people of faith. People like Abel, whose sacrifice God spoke well of. Or Enoch, who pleased God by his walk of faith and was taken away to heaven. Or like Noah, who built an ark in holy fear to save his family. When Abraham heard God's call to go, he got up and went by faith. Last year we studied Exodus, remember, about Moses. Although he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter, he identified with his own people, the Hebrew slaves. Through Moses' faithful obedience, God delivered his people and established his covenant with them on Mount Sinai. There are so many others in that chapter. They were all commended for their faith. They are a great cloud of witnesses who pressed forward by faith in obedience to God. And since that time, many others have joined that cloud. They're all in the cloud. Last year, Dr. Paul Chung preached a message on Sunday on the gospel at the worship service. Went home and went to be with his Lord, leaving an example of faith for us. Now he's in the cloud. My grandfather went to join that cloud last year. At his funeral, we learned that although he had no fatherly example in his young life, he became a father figure not only for his four children and his many grandkids and great-grandkids, but others in the neighborhood, kids would come and knock at the door and say, "Can Rich come out to play?" Take a moment and close your eyes and picture that cloud. Who's there? Who do you see there in that cloud? Who has run this race ahead of you? Because that gets us to the point today. surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. This is not nostalgia time. It's encouragement time. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. This heritage and lineage of faith encourages us today to run our race of faith, so that in our time we may join the cloud of witnesses and then cheer on the next generation. Go Judah, go Joan. It's only three verses. You too? Usually I say short passage, long message. There's so much to unpack, but I'll share three words. Persevere, follow, and consider. The cloud of witnesses each had to put off what hindered them and then persevere in order to live the life of faith. For example, Noah was asked to build an ark. He had to put everything in his life aside and spend probably 100 years building a boat in the desert, facing ridicule and scorn by everyone around him. Moses, as we studied last year, had to face his own inadequacies in speech, his lack of self-confidence, in order to go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." But the point here is that this is we and us. We aren't Noah. We aren't Moses. The race we are running, we have to picture in our mind, not a field track. This is not a track where the guy ahead of us passes the baton and then we run the exact same terrain that the guy before us did. No, we have our own context. We have our own hindrances, our own obstacles that we have to navigate. We have to figure out what needs to be thrown off. We'll need to identify them and throw them off. In that regard, this is more like cross-country running. It's not track. The Greek adjective translated easily entangles. It has the sense of something that surrounds and encompasses one who settles, like moss on a stone, or like quicksand. It represents the easy thing to do in the life of faith, instead of the hard thing. Sometimes it's an obvious moral sin, but not often. More often, it's the habit that forms that starves our prayer life, that gets us looking only at ourselves. It's something that must be challenged daily. What hinders your life of prayer, your life of obedience to God? What needs to be thrown off, disentangled? Last month, I was getting dressed in the closet, and I noticed in the corner the war room I made in 2019. And the pictures were there on the wall with all the prayer topics. Your family's pictures are there. And there was the hymn book, the devotionals, and I was struck that I have not prayed in that closet for more than a year. And I thought, what happened? The obstacles and the spiritual conflict certainly didn't disappear. As I thought about it, I noticed that two things had slipped in and entangled me. One was, well, the issues are just getting bigger and bigger, and there's really nothing else I can do anyway. And on the other hand, there was, well, at least things are basically okay. And I allowed myself to slip into this comfortable middle ground where I could just ignore the spiritual conflict. And I could get caught up in my own studies and my own work and my own desires, as well as a lot of space for entertainment and distraction. And I left off praying in the war room. When I heard Kevin's message in January, I was rebuked. You need to put on the armor of God. This is not the time. This is not the halftime show to spend watching commercials. It's the time to put on the armor of God. So I repented and I took that as my key verse this year. We have to know that the things that we listen to in the world, on YouTube, on the TV, they don't want you to press forward in your life of faith. They want to keep us on a gerbil wheel, constantly running after what's next, so we don't miss out. Or on the other hand, they want to make us so overwhelmed that we just follow whatever we're told. The race of faith is not a sprint. It's not done in one day and then it's over. It's a marathon, stretching all the way until Jesus returns. More important than just simply fasting from YouTube or stopping some other activity, we need to establish healthy rhythms of prayer and obedience to God's word in our life today. Amy and Judah and I have been keeping up a Bible reading plan on YouVersion. If you're on that, friend me and we'll encourage each other to read the Bible. I was surprised to see that Amy has completed the whole Bible every year for 6 years on that app. Likewise, in the race of faith, perseverance requires us to set patterns in our life that help us intentionally press forward. It doesn't mean pig-headed stubbornness. It means daily faithfulness. I've always been more like a sprint type person. I like to give everything at once and then burn out. But looking at it another way, I could see from the other side, it means I'm very much motivated by deadlines and boundaries. And so, how could I use that to my advantage? To counter my natural tendencies, I found the concept of Sabbath is so helpful in establishing a clear boundary for my life and for my week, a place to rest and to worship God in the week and embrace my limits. A marathon is long. It is easy to be overwhelmed by daily failures or discouraged when we see how much longer we may still have to go. So that's why we need each other. Because it is our race, not my race. We need to persevere in encouraging and praying for each other in this race. The soldiers needed help putting on their armor. And we need to be praying for each other. So let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The second word is follow. This race is not run on a track. It's rather a cross-country hike, like going through the mountains. So how do we know where to go? In other words, whose directions are we following on the road of life? Siri, Alexa, or Google can give you directions to almost any address in the world, but they cannot give you spiritual guidance. They cannot set the pattern for your life direction. But that doesn't mean we're left without direction. We are not left to wander on our own. The verse clearly says the path is marked out for us. It suggests intentionality and direction. When you go to Camp Miyakonda over on Sylvania Avenue, there are trails through the woods to all the individual campsites. But if you're camping there late at night, it is impossible to navigate. It's too dark. Except someone has marked the trees with reflective tape. And then they put signs there to label every single campsite. And so with a flashlight and a map, you can find your way. But this race is marked out in an even more intentional way. Our race is like follow the leader. Look at verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Perfecter means he completed the race. He finished the task. He ascended into heaven and he sit down at the right hand of God Almighty. And he calls us to follow him. To navigate the path marked out for us, is to fix our eyes and follow Jesus daily. That's why the life of prayer is so important, to know, Jesus, where are you leading me today? Where am I going? Every night at our house, there's a prayer meeting in our boys' room. And if you heard prayer meeting and it sounds like a formal and stuffy meeting, it's not. Because I have to remind you, my boys in that room are 12, 10, and 8. So it's not a stuffy prayer meeting. We simply share what we're thankful for, and then we pray. And it's so small, I sometimes think of it, oh, I can skip it. I'm busy. I got important things to do. School or other tasks crowd in, or meetings. But that prayer meeting is so crucial for keeping my eyes fixed on Jesus. Why am I here? What is he leading me to do? Where has he led us throughout this day? Where did I miss him? It is crucially important to find a way to fix our eyes on Jesus and the path he is marking out for us daily. Otherwise, we become like a wandering sheep. We go either ahead of Jesus or off on this tangent or that tangent, and then we fall down a pit. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, we can be confident at least he knows where he's going. And I want you to know that Jesus does not lead us impartially. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had great joy in God's presence. He lacked nothing, and yet he set it aside in order to come down to this earth and endure the cross of shame and suffering and to die. Then God raised him from the dead, and he sat down at God's right hand. What was the trip for? It's because he has another joy that was more valuable to him. The joy of seeing one lost sheep come back into the fold. He did this for the future joy of his glorious inheritance among his holy people, you and I. He marked the path with his blood, and he says, follow me, take up your cross daily, and follow me, and I will lead you to the finish line, and we will share God's joy forever. Second word, follow Jesus, fixing our eyes on him daily. Verse 3 gives our final word for today, flowing from that gospel narrative, and that word is consider. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And when I first read this, I thought, yeah, man, all those sinners out there in this world, they're always putting up hindrances and obstacles. They need some millstones. That's what's got to go on around here. But then I thought, you know, yes, the world is full of sinners. And I see one every time I look in the mirror. Yet Jesus did not abandon me. Jesus endured the cross, and he daily endures my own boasting, stumbling, and imperfect following. And Jesus does so without growing weary. Rather, he offers me rest. He does not lose heart and give up, but he carries on to completion the good work he began in me. Have you considered today this one who endured such opposition from sinners? Considering him, do I accept his forgiveness and offer it to others who stumble around me? In conclusion, let us persevere, daily putting off sin and run the race. Let's follow the path Jesus has marked out for us, fixing our eyes on him. And let's consider his grace daily, so we don't grow weary and lose heart on this journey. Let's pray. Father, I really thank you for encouraging us today through Jesus. Father, help us to run this race of faith in perseverance, to intentionally follow Jesus and consider his grace daily. May you lead and bless our church this year as we listen at Jesus' feet. Lead and guide us on this race, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.